Hello, and welcome to our midweek message. We're in Colossians chapter 1, verse 21. It reads as follows in the ESV. And you, who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. Wonderful thing there. You got some past tense of what you were, and then the hope of what has been done and what will be when you are presented before the throne of God. How will you be presented? Well, because of the death of Jesus Christ that paid the price for our sin, we will be presented holy, blameless, and above reproach before him. That is the work. The cross, death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ, the cross work of Christ applied to those who have put their faith in Jesus Christ. That's us. That's me, and hopefully that's you. And this is a beautiful picture, but it doesn't stop there. Verse 23 reads as follows, if indeed you continue in the faith, stable, steadfast, and not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. Now, there's not that salvation is conditional, that is, your works. It's not based on works. It's based on the full work of Jesus Christ. He has done it all, and we trust in him. But the reality of the living out of that faith is that we have to keep walking in it. Someone says, well, I'm going to heaven because I trusted Jesus as my Savior. Hopefully they are, but they're not benefiting from anything right now. They have the opportunity to walk with God, and they're just blowing it off for the pretty shallow hope that a prayer many years ago is going to cut it. You got to wonder if the life doesn't continue to be transformed by walking with God, did they ever start walking with him? That's a question for the Lord, not for us. But as for me personally and my walk with God, I do not want to hinge my eternity on a prayer that I prayed when I was 12 years old. That just doesn't seem wise. And even if I had prayed it at the age of 48, I still don't want to hinge it on one simple prayer. I want to keep walking that out and find the full use of and blessings of all that God has been given in Jesus Christ. So that's where you get to right here. That we begin to ask God, Lord, thank you for salvation, but Lord, I want to be sure that I am stable and steadfast in my hope and putting my hope in Christ and in Christ alone. And the practical way that works out is that you begin to let go of the things you're putting hope in. Not that you have to be rid of them like monks with nothing, no possessions, no relationships, you know, of marriage or anything like that. No, it's just that I begin to hand them over to the Lord and say, I don't want to put my hope in this for my happiness, my joy, my fulfillment of my soul. I want to put my hope in Christ alone. And as we go through life, we may keep those relationships. We may be even might keep some of those things. Now, some of the habits are destructive to our person and the people around us. We definitely need to lay those down. Besetting sins are called another part of the Bible. Things that just keep you from walking with God. Yeah, lay that down. But I'm laying those down so that my hope can be in him. I'm laying down those temporary pleasures so my hope can be in him. And as we continue to go through this process of laying down and picking up Christ and Christ alone as our hope in every situation, we get to this place where Paul becomes the minister. And he says, now that I've continued to walk with God this way, I'm also willing to give my life away, to lay aside everything that I have, not just for the hope of the gospel and the work of Jesus Christ in me, but also for the hope of the work of Christ in others. And that's how I begin to know that I'm actually growing in the faith, that I am happy and joyful about the opportunity that somebody else might come to know my Jesus and walk with him. And that whatever sacrifice needs to be made to see that happen is well worth it. And as you keep reading through the end of chapter 1, that's what you get to. Until you come down to verse 28, him where you proclaim, warning everyone, teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. Paul says, we want to see everyone presented mature in Christ. And so we're willing to give everything we have to see that happen. Let us be changed and transformed. And maybe that is the litmus test we need to begin to measure ourselves by. Where is my heart dedication to seeing people come to Christ? And where can I ask God, Lord, continue to show me what else it is that I've put my hope in that's other than Jesus Christ. And as we lay all of that down, we may find him handing us something to do that is far greater than anything we had. All right? Okay. Thank you for joining me on this midweek message. I hope we'll see you soon. Just a note, I'm not going to be here for the next couple of Wednesdays. I have things to do with family, but I will be back. So we'll see you next time, okay? Bye-bye.